You're listening to EPN, the ePodcast Network.
This is Eric Dye, and welcome to Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. Today, we are talking with Kimberly Klaus, Covestor's Advisory Board Chair. Covestor is a registered investment advisor that offers an online marketplace for investing where investors can compare and select from a diverse group of money managers. Kimberly, welcome to the new Covestor Radio.
Thank you so much. Delighted to be here.
And we're certainly happy that you took the time to be with us today. So people often think about giving to charities, especially at the end of the year and around tax time and at mid-year. What's the current state of charitable giving in the United States today?
Well, let me provide some context before I get into the specifics. So a lot of people ask me, how do other people spend their money? And these, you know, generally for higher income households that do have some choice, right, and where their money flows. The answer is consumption or lifestyle first. Second, the government in the form of taxes. And third is wealth transfer. And if we double click, so to speak, on wealth transfer, there are two general categories. One category is money that you give to family members, right? Most people think of inheritance. And the second area is charitable giving. And that's charitable giving during your lifetime or charitable giving at death, generally by a will. So with that context, so individuals donated about $230 billion in 2012, which was actually slightly up from $217 billion the prior year in 2011. And individuals are the largest source of charitable gifts, accounting for about 70% of total giving. So what I find encouraging is that despite the economic situation, about 88% of U.S. households are still giving to charity. And as you might expect, you know, there's generally an uptick in charitable giving during the holiday season, and that's for a couple of reasons. Tis the season, right? And I think, you know, people do tend to reflect and realize how fortunate they are. It's also the time that a lot of charities ask. But if you put all that together, the average person gives nearly 25% of their total annual donations between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
So how much do most people give to charity?
Well, you know, it's one of those things that is so individual. And, you know, giving to charity can take a bunch of different forms. But let me share the statistics. So the average household gives about $2,200 a year. And that's average. So that does include, very wealthy families who give an awful lot. If you adjust for that, the median household gives about $900. And what I think is a relevant sort of, you know, reference point here is the average American expects to spend about $700 on Christmas gifts in 2013. So about $900 is the average annual charitable gift. About $700 is how much people generally spend during the holidays. And, you know, averages are deceptive. And one thing that was surprising to me as I sit here in New England, in states like, let's say, Utah and Mississippi, the typical household gives more than 7% of its income to charity, while the average household in my home state and in Massachusetts, the average household gives less than 3%. And these numbers are adjusted to reflect the stark differences in cost of living. But still, 7% versus 3%.
And here's another question for you. In what causes or what types of causes do most people give?
Well, about half of charitable giving goes to religious, education, and arts organizations. And, you know, that's not really surprising because these are often the causes that are, you know, kind of right in front of you, right? Your religious organization and then, the school where you got your education or where you're sending your children. According to Forbes, though, the largest U.S. charities by a fairly wide margin are the United Way and the Salvation Army. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, to what causes do people give? So there's giving of money, right? There's giving of goods, you know, in-kind donations. Then there's also volunteering. So even people who don't feel as though they're able to contribute financially, you know, so many nonprofits welcome people coming to volunteer. Last year, over 60 million adults volunteered about 15 billion hours of service. And I think we've all come across this, right? So the top four volunteering activities are selling items to raise money, right? The infamous, you know, candy bar at the office, food collection or distribution, and then other, you know, sort of, you know, providing transportation or, you know, other kind of general services or actually tutoring or teaching.
Good information today. We are with Kimberly Klaus, Covestor's Advisory Board Chair on Covestor Radio, a show about money, milestones, and investing for your future here on EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Kimberly, what is the best way to fund charitable gifts?
So a lot of people feel like the reason that other folks make charitable contributions is for, you know, for tax purposes, right? This is sort of a cynical view. So the research shows that about two-thirds of high net worth donors cite giving back to the community as the chief motivation for giving. So it's giving back, it's not getting a tax deduction. Having said that, if you are going to give, you might as well do it in a tax-efficient way. I am not a tax expert. My advice, you know, should not be relied upon. Everyone should talk to their own CPA. I'm doing a call out for compliance here. Nonetheless, you know, I can provide some rules of thumb. So taxpayers who itemize deductions on their returns can deduct the full amount of their cash contributions, which is, you know, which is a terrific, you know, a terrific benefit. And you can do that, you know, up to about 50% of your adjusted gross income. So that's for cash. You get a lesser deduction if you give property or assets in which you have a capital gain. So, but those are also deductible at up to 30% and 20%. Respectively. And this is where it gets kind of tricky, you know, looking at exactly what types of assets and holding periods and things like that. But those are pretty good rules of thumb. And there is an ancillary benefit often in using appreciated securities to fund your charitable gift. So if you gift $25,000 of highly appreciated stock, then subject to the restrictions and subject to your own situation, you'll get a $25,000 deduction. And you can also, you know, in some ways use that charitable giving as a way to rebalance your investment portfolio.
Very helpful information. In conclusion, one final thought on today's topic.
Oh, there's a quote that I love that I actually have pasted on my refrigerator that says, "What you keep for yourself, you lose. What you give away, you keep forever." So again, you know, what you keep for yourself, you lose. What you give away, you keep forever. And, you know, the need for charitable giving remains very strong in the United States. You know, the statistics are sobering. So in 2012, 15% of people in the U.S. lived in poverty, and one in 45 children experience homelessness in America each year. So I certainly don't want to end on a down note, but the message is there's a lot of need. There are a lot of different ways to give money, goods, time, and I just encourage people to really think about what charitable giving means for them.
Strong message, certainly appreciated. How can people get more information on Covestor?
Covestor.com.
The source. We've been speaking with Kimberly Klaus, Covestor's Advisory Board Chair, and we certainly do thank you for joining us on this inaugural episode of Covestor Radio, a show about money milestones and investing for your future. And for more information, simply visit Covestor.com. Join us next time for another episode of Covestor Radio, a part of EPN, the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. And this has been Eric Dye.
This is the ePodcast Network.